Good evening. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, and I'll read verses 1 to 5 and 14 to 16. Psalm 31, verse 1 to 5. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou rock for a house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for Thou art my strength. Into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. And now, take a look at verse 14. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank You for Your word, and we pray, Lord, that You would speak Your words to us, that we may know them and be comforted. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. How many of you know the tract, the gospel tract by Campus Crusade? You know the four spiritual laws? I think it's a yellow one, right? It's not one of my favorite tracts, but there's something in there that I thought gave fairly clear instructions as to how we are supposed to respond to the Word of God. It tells us that we should be moved not by feeling, but by fact. Our faith should not be based on whether you feel like it or not. As we can fall into something, in terms of our feeling, we can fall out of it. So the illustration that was given was of a train. Now, the engine was facts, and this is followed by faith. And then after that, it is followed by feeling. Because if the train was led by feeling, it would get nowhere. Now, this is really the same with our spiritual lives. If we operate based on feelings, then we won't get anywhere. You know, it's the same thing in a marriage, right? Or same thing with your friends, right? If you feel, right, that your wife or your husband does not love you as much, or you feel that you're no longer so close to your friends, then it will affect the way that you behave. But if you operate by fact, by what you're supposed to do, it becomes a different. Now, in this psalm, we see that David was sad. And David was someone who spent a lot of his life grieving because he had many troubles. But David was someone who also knew how to rejoice and how to deal with those troubles. And the reason he was able to do that was simply because he trusted in the Lord. And you see that in verse 14, right? His faith, his trust, was based on the fact that the Lord is our God. Right? He says that in verse 14. He says, "But I trusted in Thee, O Lord." Now that's faith. "I said, Thou art my God." Now that's facts, right? So his faith was based on this fact, and because of that, because believed in that, his feeling follows. And we see that in verse 15. He says, my times are in thy hand. So after trusting in the Lord, recognizing that God is God, he was able to respond to his fear with confidence. He was willing to put himself, you could say, at the disposal of God. He was willing to trust in God and have no fear. You know, whatever comes, comes. My times are in thy hand. Right? Now the phrase, my times, speaks of our ups and downs, our health and our sickness, our poverty and wealth. Whatever comes, whatever it is, it's in the hands of God. Meaning whatever happens to us in our lives, it is from the Father's hands. And this thought ought us several assurances, right? So we'll see these four assurances, and they're published for you. The first assurance that we see is that if we are in the hands of the Lord, then we ought to feel that God is real and near. Right? Now, it really tells us that nothing is by chance. Events happen, not by fortune, not by bad luck, right? But because of appointment. Now, you know, you may have played with dice before, right? Or you may have drawn a card in a card game. Even drawing of the lot, that is not by chance. You know, you drive into a car park and you hope for a parking lot and you see an empty one. You know, some people would say, ah, you're lucky, right? I really have no problem with the word luck. I know some Christians have a big problem. They instead of saying pot luck, we like to say pot providence or whatever. Right? But I mean, there's nothing wrong with the word luck. But if you trust, you know, and you attribute something to luck, well, that's wrong. Because even the draw of the lot, or the draw of the card, or the roll of the dice, that's been decided by God. Proverbs 16:33, it says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So chance or luck is a heathen idea, right? Now, as much as God arranges for the small things that happen in life, he arranges also for the big things. You know, I've been attempting to plant stuff. So I have an upside-down planter, right, and I put strawberries inside, strawberry plants. Then another planter, I put a tomato plants and other things. And, you know, you never know whether it'll grow or not. You put fertilizer. You trust that it'll grow. Aphids could come and destroy the entire thing. Right? That is controlled by God, you know, by God, the little aphid. You know, even, you know, pestilences are also controlled by God. Romans 8:28 tells us that our loving God oversees all things, right? It tells us that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. So God considers our times. He thinks it over. He plans to do good to us. And even though we may be going through our griefs, our afflictions, which are from his hands, he doesn't sit by idly either, but he occupies himself with our problems. He's there taking care of us. So that's the first assurance, to know that God is real and he is near. Nothing happens by chance. Now, secondly, we see that this truth, that God takes care of us and our times are in his, that this truth is a help in times of temptation. Help in times of temptation. Now what do I mean by this? You know, sometimes Satan will tempt us. Okay, say for example, you have a large family. You've got so many mouths to feed. Here's one way of making money, right? Other people are doing it. Yeah, it may not be the most honest, but you know, you should not be so particular about it, since, you know, no one else is that particular. So we think, we look at our circumstances. But if we respond and we say, you know, it is not my business necessarily to provide for my family alone. I'm not the only one. My times are in the hands of the Lord. As much as I provide, the Lord is also providing. And all I'm responsible for doing is doing it correctly. I would not be dishonest as to fill my house with money. I must do what the Lord has called me to do. My job is to walk uprightly. So this truth, it is an antidote, you could say, to temptation. There are times when, most of us here, except those who are retired already, work. You know, unless you're working for yourself, you're working for other people, and there will be politics. But our times are in God's hands, and the way we respond is according to His law. Now, thirdly, something else that ought to be a response of our heart based on this truth is that since our times are in the hands of God, we do not have to fear men. Now, David was someone who had many enemies, and at times it was so many that he could hardly bear with them. And with enemies raining down from every side, fear of them would be something very real. But we see here that if we have this truth, knowing that God is in control, it lessens our fear of men. A good example, or many examples in the Bible, but a good one is, remember when the spies went into the promised land? Right, then they spied out the land, they saw the bunches of grapes were so big that men had to carry it upon their shoulders. Then they went back, they gave a report, but what did they say? They're giants in the land. They're so big, we're like grasshoppers. But what did Caleb say? Caleb responded and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." He was with them. Then, of course, you have the example of David and Goliath. Here's another giant, right? I think, what was he, like 9 or 10 feet tall? David was just a shepherd boy. Everyone else was afraid. But what did David say to Goliath? And what did David say to Saul? He said to Saul, "Thy servant," meaning David, "slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." I mean, that's faith, right? Knowing that God is with him, it reduced the fear of God. It's the same thing when Jesus sent out the 12 disciples to preach. He told them that they would receive opposition. But he told them, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known." In other words, don't fear. Just go and preach and everything, you know, will be all right. So it is a support against the fear of man. Fourthly, this truth is a cure for present worry. You know, if our times are in His hands, and if we are to cast our care on Him, then we should not be as afraid. You know, what good does fretting do? You know, if there's not enough rain, you know, there's not enough rain for my plants, can I fret down a shower? No, right? Obviously not. And the same thing, you know, if it's too wet, can I worry until the clouds are past? No, but if we leave our times in the hands of the Lord, we are living without this bondage of, right? And furthermore, fretting will not bring any glory to God. So when we turn our worry to expectation, you know, our worry can reduce. In fact, you could say half the joy lies in not having seen the deliverance of the Lord, but half the joy at times resides in expecting God to deliver. I'm sure all of us here have experienced the peace of God at one point or another in our lives, when things were not going well, but because we have prayed and surrendered, we feel completely serene. You know, we may not have what we ask for yet, but we have that peace, right? And so, if we live understanding that fact and putting our faith in it, then our feelings would follow. You know, sometimes it's important for us as Christians to stir up that kind of thinking. It's important for us to purposefully place our trust in that truth of God. And I believe that the Lord will honor and change our heart to remove that fear, to perceive that God is near, that He provides help in times of temptation, and definitely it is a cure for the present worry. Let's pray. Eternal gracious Father, we thank You that our times are in Your hands, and that we can be released from fear. Lord, we pray that should anyone here be going through difficulties, that this truth of Yours would bolster our hearts. Grant us joy and peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.